When Margaret Ashmore was diagnosed with breast cancer, it made her think about death and life.
It has made me realize that my days are borrowed, and I want to use every one of them, the balance of my life, to glorify God with my life.
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss. It's Wednesday, October 19th. Nancy continuing in a series for Breast Cancer Awareness Month. The series is called Surviving and Thriving Through Suffering.
As you've been listening to our series on dealing with breast cancer, you may be thinking this subject really doesn't relate to me, and it may not at this moment, but whether you're a woman listening to us or a man, chances are good that through the course of your lifetime, you will have a female loved one, a mother, a sister, a daughter, a close friend who will face breast cancer. And we want to talk today about how you can minister to those who are in this situation of life. Our guests are Margaret Ashmore, who's a Bible teacher, a conference speaker. You can learn more about her ministry by going to her website, which you can link to through reviveourhearts.com. And we want to talk today in just a few moments about how God used other people in your life to be a blessing to you and a help to you through the ordeal that you went through several years ago. And then from a different perspective, we have Dr. Sally Knox, who was your breast cancer surgeon. Dr. Knox is a renowned breast cancer surgeon. She works through the Baylor University Medical Center in Dallas, Texas. She's written a fabulous book that I'm encouraging all of our listeners to get. It's called The Breast Cancer Care Book. Dr. Knox, thank you for writing this book based on your experience of dealing with thousands of breast cancer patients. I love your heart and the wisdom God's given you and just the perspective that you have as a doctor and as a Christian woman.
Well, thank you, Nancy.
The subtitle to your book is A Survival Guide for Patients and Loved Ones.
Yes.
And at the end of each chapter, you give some tips for what loved ones can do. Margaret, let's just start with you. And as you walked through your breast cancer experience, and it was an ordeal, it was a fight, and there were times when you were very, very sick.
Yes.
How did God use other people in your life so that this wasn't a journey you had to go through alone?
There were times when I would be laying in bed, and I was so ill because of chemotherapy. There was one point in time when my eyes were so bloodshot because I'd been so ill and had been throwing up so much, I literally couldn't get out of bed. And yet I would hear someone outside my window mowing my yard. They mm-hmm. would just show up, minister to me in that way, and then leave. I had many cards. I had phone calls. I got one card from a dear friend of mine, and she quoted a poem by John Donne, and it said, "Do thou so make my bed in all my sickness, that being used to thy hand, I may be content with any bed of thy making."
Hmm.
And things like that were a great comfort to me, that God was sovereign over my sick bed, and that he was going to use it for his honor and glory. And so just the body of Christ, the friends and family were absolute necessities to continue to give me hope through this ordeal.
So I assume they ministered to you in some very practical ways. Obviously, mowing your lawn is one.
Yes.
When you couldn't do it yourself.
Yes.
What are some of the other practical ways that God used people to help you through that time? Were there times you just needed help getting to a doctor's appointment?
Yes, and I had many people take me to my radiation appointments. I had many people take me to some of my chemo appointments. One thing that was really interesting, and my pastor, Tom Nelson, will love this, I love old episodes of the Andy Griffith Show.
And so, doesn't everybody?
Yeah, I hope so. I had a friend of mine who went with me to chemotherapy. And you know, Dr. Knox, they have video monitors where you can watch videos while you're getting this chemotherapy pumped in your veins. And she would make sure I had a funny episode of Andy Griffith to watch every mm-hmm. time I was getting a chemo treatment. Another thing that just was wonderful for me were notes in the mail. Just a note of scripture, a note of encouragement, a note of truth. And I would find myself waiting for the postman to come just mm-hmm. so I could get mm-hmm. a shot of encouragement for that day. So all those things served to help me along my journey.
Dr. Knox, what do you encourage caregivers and loved ones to do when that diagnosis first comes?
Let me just say some practical things. the normal thing to do when a friend of yours or your loved one has been diagnosed with breast cancer, there's a natural tendency to think about people that you've known that had breast cancer or this, that, or the other. And before you know it, out of your mouth is going to come, well, you know, I knew somebody that died just last week with breast cancer.
Not helpful.
That's not helpful.
No.
And it's funny because breast cancer patients will tell me about this time and again. And
it's devastating.
Did you have that happen, Margaret?
Many times. And again, well-intentioned, well-meaning friends who just let slip that, you know, several people they have known have died of breast cancer. And what that does is it really diminishes your hope and I think compromises your battle.
Right. So the thing I would say to those loved ones and those friends of the patient with breast cancer is monitor your mouth and perhaps say nothing at all, because a lot of times it's your presence that makes a difference for that patient, because it's more the fact that you cared enough to show up to be there that ministers far more powerfully than words that you're grasping for, that you don't quite know what to say to this person.
What about just helping to listen to the doctor and to take some notes? Can that be helpful?
So helpful. Oftentimes, because of the tension of the situation, the patient's only taking in maybe 25%. So it's so helpful to have others there to listen to what the physician has to say. I would say to the friends and family, relax and realize that you don't have to have. In fact, I would discourage families or friends from having spiritual answers or an explanation for why this happened, or even going to the literature or going to the internet and coming back with all kinds of things that they want this patient to try. Have you read this? Have you read that? You know, have you tried this alternative method, or have you thought about this?
That can be really overwhelming, can it?
It can be overwhelming. And the other thing that I want to say is that oftentimes the husband or the significant other is suffering as much or more than the patient themselves. And that's often overlooked because everybody's focusing on that patient that's got the diagnosis. They're handling challenges like, well, do I go to work today or do I cancel work and so I can be there for her test? And yet work is where the insurance is. So there's all kinds of practical issues that they're having to grapple with. Think about ministering to the kids and to the husband as well as to the patient themselves.
Margaret, I know that prior to your diagnosis of breast cancer, you had struck up a correspondence with Elizabeth Elliot. Tell us a little bit about how God used her to be a blessing to you through your breast cancer process.
I had corresponded with Elizabeth for a number of years, and right after I was diagnosed with breast cancer, of course, I went through the chemo and I lost my hair. And shortly after that, I went to a conference that Elizabeth was giving in South Texas, and I, out of 800 women, was the only one with a bald head. And so she looks out and sees me and tells her husband, Lars, go up and ask that girl if she'd like to have lunch with us after the conference. Well, I have no doubt that she thought I was might not be long for this world. And she said, well, you know, we're going to go out of the country in a few weeks. Would you like to go with us? And I did. And by virtue of that, just got to know Elizabeth. And one of the great joys of my life is to call her a friend. All that to say, when I was going through the worst of this, I came home and there was a message on my answering machine. And if any of you have heard Elizabeth's voice, it's very unmistakable. And this is what she said: Margaret, do not lose heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. Though your outer man is decaying, your inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing in you an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While you, Margaret, should look at the things that you can't see, not the things that you can see. For the things that you can see are temporal. The things you can't see are eternal. Margaret, God will use this, and for this you have Jesus. And she hung up the phone, and it just gave me great courage for the days to come.
And God may want to use you in the life of one of your loved ones to give a word of encouragement and blessing and peace spoken through the Word of God. You can't go wrong with the Word of God, sensitively applied, timed in a way that is sensitive to the need of the other person.
We we'd like to send a copy of the book Nancy Lee DeMoss has been describing. It's our way of saying thanks when you donate any amount to the ministry of Revive Our Hearts. Just visit reviveourhearts.com or call 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. We're going to get back to the conversation between Nancy, Margaret Ashmore, and Dr. Sally Knox. But first, let's hear from one of our listeners who's gained some insight on this topic.
I am 29 years old. On February 25th of 2004, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And it really was a shock to me. Just thinking that I was untouchable or not as vulnerable to get any type of diseases. I had so much to look forward to, and being diagnosed with breast cancer at such a young age has really made me stop and think. I am only here in this world for a short time. I have three kids. My daughter was not even a year old when I was diagnosed, and I just remember feeling very scared, very alone, not knowing what was going to happen. That really scared me. I tend to be a person that is self-sufficient, very go-getter, needs to be in control, and the diagnosis made me stop and think, I am not in control. God is in control. The scripture that always came to mind that helped me was the one where Paul had the thorn in his side, and he asked God three times to take the thorn away, and God said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. And that really helped me to get through that, because I knew that his grace was sufficient for me. I knew that somehow I was going to be okay. And people outside, they would say, wow, you're so strong. And I would say, no, I'm not. I'm really not strong. It's not me, it's God. And I really also held on to Philippians 4, where it talks about, you know, not being anxious, and that God would give me the peace that transcends all understanding. And I really saw that scripture come to life when people would say, how is it that you're going through this, and yet you're so calm? You're still smiling, you're still happy, you're still living. And I would say, it's God. It's only God. And I'm happy to say that my cancer is gone. I have finished chemo, radiation, gone through major surgery. You know, hopefully, God willing, it won't come back. But I just feel like God has taught me such a major lesson that I would have never learned how to depend on Him had I not gone through this. And I'm just grateful for your show, Revive Our Hearts. I'm so grateful that I can turn on the radio and listen to something that is encouraging. Thank you.
Maybe you have some insights on surviving and thriving through cancer or some other type of suffering. You can share your story by visiting reviveourhearts.com. When you're at the website, find today's transcript, then scroll to the bottom to leave your comment on our listener blog. Now, let's get back to Nancy Lee DeMoss with Dr. Sally Knox and Margaret Ashmore.
Margaret, while we were together at dinner last night, you told me that you wouldn't trade your experience with cancer for all the money in the world. Why would you say that?
Well, I'm reminded of the words of the old hymn, How Firm a Foundation, that says, when through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee, I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. And I can tell you, in all honesty, that I had a considerable amount of dross that needed to be consumed, and a great deal of refining that I needed to go through. And I just saw it as a God who loved me. The scripture says that how blessed is the man that God chastens and corrects, and that God's only real motive through chastening is to draw his child back to deeper fellowship with himself. And that's exactly what God did through the cancer that he allowed in my life, this severe mercy. It did draw me closer to God. It did give me a clearer idea of what was important in life. Interestingly, too, the things that I thought were such problems. After cancer, those things seemed so trivial. Mm. I just didn't get upset about the little things in life anymore for the simple reason that I was so glad to be alive. Mm. Just going for a walk in the morning and being able to breathe, being able to walk, being able to think, being able to see, and it just made me realize what was important in life.
Now, you're a breast cancer survivor, but Dr. Knox, you've treated a lot of breast cancer patients, and by God's
yes.
grace, there are a lot of survivors, but I assume not all of them have survived. And we can't talk about cancer without also getting on that, what for many people is a difficult subject of death and dying.
The very first thought that a woman has when she hears a diagnosis of breast cancer is that I'm going to die. And fortunately, that's usually not the case. The majority of women will be treated successfully. But if we step back for just a moment and we consider the fact that we all know that we will have that day one time, our days are numbered. There is such a thing, and it sounds crazy, but there's such a thing as a healthy death. And that occurs when a woman and her family can acknowledge the truth of the situation. Now, this does not mean that they give up hope, and mm-hmm. it does not mean that they are giving up on God. Mm-hmm. They can still be praying, God, take this away. But if a woman can acknowledge and come to the truth that I may not be here, whatever, 6 months or a year down the road or a few weeks down the road, it allows her to do things that empower her and, more importantly, minister to those around her. For instance, a mother that has, let's say, an 8 or a 10-year-old child, one of her greatest griefs is that she wanted to be there when they graduated from high school. Mm-hmm. She wanted to be there when they got married or graduated from college. Well, if she can acknowledge her situation and come to the truth of that situation, she can do some powerful things. She can record a cassette or make a video of her message to that child when they graduate from high school. That mother can do powerful things like that. Oftentimes, I've had families that they know that mom is dying, but they can't talk about it. Mm-hmm. They won't talk about it. But health comes when you can talk about it. It's just like buying an insurance policy. When you buy an insurance policy, you're not saying that you're going to have a car accident tomorrow. You're just saying that you're going to be prepared in case that should happen. You know, I need to convey to you certain information about what I would want done mm-hmm. if I should pass away, and this is what I want, and that's how, you know, and start taking care of the many details ahead of time.
Margaret, did you, through your breast cancer process, think about death? Were there times when you thought you were going to die or might? How did you process that?
When the New Testament speaks of death for those who have rejected Christ, it uses the Greek word thanatos, which means separated from God. That is the real problem of death, is separation from a holy God. But when he speaks of death for a believer, he uses, interestingly, the word depart. You're just going from this world to the world God has prepared for you, to his eternal kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a story that someone told me that helped me deal with the prospect of my death. It's a story of a person who was going to an intersection, and they saw what they knew was an 18-wheeler just careening toward them, and they were on a collision course with this 18-wheeler. And they said they literally just braced themselves, closed their eyes, and waited for the impact. What they didn't know is that that 18-wheeler was going over a bridge, and just its shadow had crossed over them. And I thought, that is why the scriptures say through the valley of the shadow of death, because that is all it is for a believer, that it is just a shadow. It will pass over us and will instantly be translated into God's eternal kingdom. And so when I dealt with the idea of death, I thought, Jesus Christ has already taken the impact mm-hmm. of death through his death and resurrection, the impact of sin, and he's taken it upon himself, and he's paid for it judicially before God. And now death to me is departing, and it is as painless as a shadow. And I don't mean in terms of physical pain, but just the fear of death.
Margaret, you've told me that although, as far as you know at the moment, you're cancer-free,
mm-hmm.
that humanly speaking, statistically, there's a strong chance that the cancer could come back,
yes,
and that you feel, in a sense, that your days really are numbered. How does that affect the way that you live?
Well, I can say it very simply, is that it has made me realize that my days are borrowed, and I want to use every one of them, the balance of my life, to glorify God with my life. It has made the whole idea of the judgment seat of Christ very real to me. But I will be asked to give an account. What did I do with this gift of salvation that God gave me, this gift I didn't deserve? What did I do? Did I spend it on myself? Did I spend it accruing, just getting more stuff? Or did I use this life that God gave me and the salvation that He gave me to be a benefit to others? As a matter of fact, that's basically what Paul settled on when he said, I am hard-pressed between the two. I'd like to be with the Lord because it's far better, but I think I'll stay down here for your sake. And I believe that is what God has allowed me to do, stay down here for the sake of others, which means I cannot live for myself.
Before we started recording here, Margaret, you shared with us a powerful quote from Jim Elliot, the martyred husband of Elizabeth Elliot. Read that quote to us again, if you would.
He said this, make sure that when you die, all you have to do is die. In other words, you have lived your life for the glory of God.
Do you live that way?
By the grace of God, and because I have a wonderful gift of being very in touch with my mortality, I try to.
And I don't know what God's been saying to you through this series. It may have nothing directly to do with breast cancer. It may have everything to do with preparing to face God, preparing to give account for how you lived the life that He gave to you here. Margaret, Dr. Knox, thank you so much for opening your heart to us. Dr. Knox, thank you for your book, The Breast Cancer Care Book. But most of all, we just want to encourage our listeners, in whatever season of life he finds you right now, as a sufferer, as a caregiver, just as a woman going through the course of everyday life, are you living your life in light of your mortality, knowing that one day, very, very soon, we will be facing the Lord? Let's pray together. Lord, how I thank you for these precious women who've been sharing with me through this series, for the evidence of your grace in their lives, for how they have responded to you and the richness of the fruit that I see in their lives. They've been in touch with death, with suffering, with loss, yet you have brought them through on the other side with a fullness and a richness and a fragrance that we want to have in our lives. And so, Lord, through whatever means you would choose and use, may we embrace the cross, may we receive the gifts that you bring into our lives, and may we see that even the painful things transformed into something of great value and worth and beauty. Lord, help us to live today in such a way that if our lives were to be snuffed out at the end of this day, that we could stand before you unashamed, with great joy, ready to face you and ready to enjoy an eternity in your presence. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Nancy Lee DeMoss has been praying that all of us would grow and thrive when we face times of suffering. Maybe you know someone going through breast cancer, and this week's programs have helped you. If you've missed any so far, you can order them on CD by visiting reviveourhearts.com. Just look for the series, Surviving and Thriving Through Suffering. That's also where you'll find the book by our guest, Sally Knox. We'll send you her book, The Breast Cancer Care Book, when you donate any amount to Revive Our Hearts. Again, support the ministry by visiting reviveourhearts.com or call 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Well, through her experience with breast cancer, Margaret Ashmore has learned a lot about endurance. She'll encourage you if you're holding on in a tough marriage, a tough job, or a difficult trial. That's tomorrow on Revive Our Hearts. Thank you. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.